Blog Talk Radio.
Coming from out of that Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. Once again, for the next to the last installment of mental illness, and we're coming to an end, we're coming to a head. Prayfully that y'all got it out of something out of it. I know I have. I know I have. I have been learning so much in this journey, because when we started off, that's what we talked about, that we are on a journey. And once you said, yes, I do, I will obey your laws, statutes, and judgments. I will uphold my part of the covenant. You have been on a journey ever since. Whenever you said that you will do what Abba asked you to do, what the Most High asked you to do, your journey started then. But on this journey, these last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks actually, because Bariyake El Rabbi stepped in on one of them, Abba gave him a word to bring to the family that was mental illness. No, loved how what Abba gave him, because mental illness is just a spiritual sickness which touches every human being. In one shape or form or another, it touches every last human being on the face of the planet. A spiritual sickness. No. But I want to get into next week's lesson, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring it all to a head. We're going to bring it all together so we can see this journey that we was on and where Abba brought us to now and what we've been through. But he have a powerful lesson for us again tonight. Powerful lesson, definitely. But let me open up with a prayer, family. Let me invoke the Spirit of Yah. Hallelujah. Torah Abba Yah. Once again, to bringing us here, Father. Torah Abba Yah, for giving us the breath of life, Father. Torah Abba Yah, for being able to sit down at this moment, Father. Torah, thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for this week that passed, Father, that we are about to enter into another Shabbat, Father, another day of rest, 24 hours where we can lay down our burdens and get totally into you, Father. If we take advantage of that, it will be a blessing to us. Even if we don't, we understand that you blessed that day. You sanctified this day, Father. And no one can change it. No one can alter it. No one can take away the blessing that you put upon this day, Father. We thank you for that, Father. Father, I want to ask that you touch and heal all the Zakins, the elders, and the Emas, Father. Mind, body, spirit, Father. May they be comforted, Father. May you touch the Yaladi, Father. Children, Father, may you touch the Emas, Father, the Akotis, Father. May you touch the Ox, Father. And most importantly, Father, may you put rest in your Kohanim minds, Father. May they sit down and take refuge in you, Father. May they dine with you, Father, that they can have a wonderful meal, Father. May we all have a wonderful meal with you with this 24-hour time, Father, that you set aside, so we can be refreshed, Father. We thank you for that. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again, though, family, because actually Abba just woke me up for real. And I had to laugh about it. I had to sit back and chuckle at it, right? Because the spirit of slumber is real. If you don't believe it, the spirit of slumber is real. Look at it for yourself next time. And we're going to read that in the Word today. But next time you feel yourself and your Word is coming on, or you're in service, or whenever you're trying to study, and you feel just a heavy sleepiness come upon you out of nowhere, trust and believe, that's the spirit of slumber. It comes upon us, and it comes upon us fast. Because if it was any other day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, I wouldn't be sleepy. Not at this time. But I sat down and I finished putting the finishing touches on this lesson tonight and asking Abba which way to go. And now I'm going to sit here. I got an hour before service. You know, bam. Knocked out. Call him. you have been sleeping so good, you hear yourself snoring, and you're like, you know it's out because it was 7:57. I had to laugh because it was Abba who woke me up. Get up, boy. Get up. Like you pop up out of that sleep. But the spirit of slumber is serious. It's a very serious thing. And it's real. You know, Brother Yaquiel said something about that. Brothers and sisters was nodding. And it's something that we have to fight. This past Shavuot. You know, we have to fight that spirit because it's not. We give in to it. He coming in, and them eyes is closed, and we didn't woke up and missed the whole lesson, missed everything. You know, I even sitting here when I'm not having to teach, that, bam, you didn't fall asleep. You didn't miss the lesson, so you got to go back and listen to it again. But any other night, you're not that sleepy. So that's a very real thing, the spirit of slumber. Because Hasatan don't want you. He don't want you to hear it. He don't. He don't want us to get that revelation that Abba has for us. He don't want us to heal ourselves. To heal from that mental sickness. You know, from a spiritual sickness. Or as what we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks, mental illness and understanding sin. You know, anytime he can close our ears, especially our spiritual ears, shut our spiritual eye, he going to do it. And if we fall prey to that, many a times we fall prey to it, so we have to fight that spirit. Get up off me. Back off me. Remember one time we was nodding, Reverend Yaquiel was like, get up, walk around. You need to walk around, put some water on your face. In other words, fight that spirit of slumber that comes upon us. That's what we got to do. Fight that spirit. But in going this route, one thing I understand is everything is timely. And somebody hit me with a scripture. I mean, with a text. Let me know I'm sounding good. I'm always late with that. Marry out here, marry out now. You always like 10, 15 minutes behind. But let me know I'm sounding good. If not, the show won't go on anyway. But everything is timely with the Most High. Everything. Even what we're going to read tonight, it parallels with what we've been reading in Sirach. You know, and although we read it before, but Torah Aki, Torah. You know, because still have to do this. And this is the thing that Abba is trying to get right. Because even earlier today, I was sitting there and I was listening to what's next. Abba, after this, what's next? And there's two roads I was looking at that he was sending me down. And with these mental illness. And as I started listening to Abba, you understand Abba takes you on a journey in your mind and how he wants you to bring things about. But with this, it have a hint of something else that's within the lesson that he's given me for the next 6 weeks already. And that's beautiful and it's timely. Because Abba is leaving no excuses. He is leaving mankind. Who said we do to that covenant. Those of us who accepted the covenant that Abba put before us and before our forefathers, especially us, because he has given us tools to get through. He has given us tools to get through. And matter of fact, we're going to see that tonight too. Very, very good discussion tonight, you know. And love how this book reads, because it's like a conversation, and it's like Abba talking to you. And when he's talking to you, he's talking personally to you. Not nobody else. It's personally to you, to me, even as I'm reading. As like I said before when we started off, it's personal for me. It was personal. And not only personal, but it was an education for me. And not only an education, it was something that I was able to get a few things off for me that I didn't even know that they was there. Until Abba decided to take me down this journey, down this road, to see the things that I've been harboring since a child. Things that I had, the traumas that I had been through from a child, that I'm still holding on. And haven't gotten to all of them. I'll be willing, I will. But if not, that's okay too. As long as I stay on that street and narrow, I'll be all right. And not just me, you yourself. Prayfully on this journey that Abba has showed you with that flashlight that was within us that he said. What you've been harboring from a child, the traumas that you have put back in that secret place, in that dark corner, and you don't want to go to because you don't like that feeling. You don't like that what you get when it starts to come up. So every time it starts to regurgitate, you push it back down. But sometimes we have to regurgitate it. We have to bring it back up. Why? So we can deal with it like the cow. What do? He regurgitates the food. He brings it back up. Why? So when he brings it back up, maybe he can break some more of the food particles down and get more of the nutrients. He does that. So that's what we have to do with those things that sit back, way back in that corner, those secret things. Those things that, and then this is the thing about being traumatized. If we may not even know. The human mind, I'm not going to say it's in something special in the sense of it's special in that way, but it's something to behold. This human nature of ours, this spirit of ours that Abba had put within us. And sometimes we get traumas that's there, and we don't even know. Why? Because whenever we start to feel uncomfortable, whenever something familiar to that trauma and reminds us just a little bit, we push it back down. We get rid of that. Why? Because that's the psyche trying to tell us, hey, there's something wrong there. But we don't want to feel that wrong. So we get it back down. We push it back down. No, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel that. So get back down. Whatever familiar to you. But again, it's going to come out tonight if we have time. So let me get into it because there's a lot of reading tonight. Got a few scriptures jotted down. But as always, we're going to your common 10:10. And these were the foundational scriptures of the whole lesson. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We know who the I am is, right? The I is Yahushua or HaMashiach, who laid down his life for our sins. So we can have an avenue, a road to the kingdom, that we may have life and life more abundantly. Not this bogged down life, not this life filled with problems, filled with mental anguish, filled with a spiritual sickness. a spiritual illness. Not that type of life, but a life free from that, free from these mental ills, free from being overtaken by sins and faults. Yahushua came to deliver us from that. So let's move on to Jeremiah. This is the second foundational scripture, which is Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's a question asked at the end of that. Who can know it? Who know thyself? How much do we know our own self? Yah is telling us what the heart is. So when the next time a person, and I'm quite sure we all did before, oh, yeah, I know my heart. Yeah, he's just right. He ain't telling you what your heart is. He said it is wicked. It is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's what he said about your heart. So, yes, he knows our heart. So he did not leave us an excuse to do wrong. Leave us an excuse to live outside of his Torah. But again, he gave us something to enable us to move and live a Torah-based life. Then we're going to see that. We're going to see that. But the next time a person say, oh, God knows my heart, yeah, take him to this scripture right here. Let him know, yeah, this is what he think about your heart. This is what he know about your heart. You don't even know yourself. The next time somebody say that, well, I know my heart. Got a mouth full of pork, but he know I love him. Oh, really? Really? You got a bushel of crabs, but he know I love him. Adulterer, but he know I'm loving. One who practiced sin, but he know my heart. He know I got a heart for him. Yeah, really? Take me Jeremiah 17:9. We got four scriptures, family, we're about to read. But it ain't the scriptures. So don't pay attention to the scriptures. But the thought is, I want you to pay attention to the word that I look up in each scripture. And I'm reading out the King James right now, but we're going to move on to the WEVA translations, because we will be going into Maccabees 4 today, and we're going to be reading Maccabees 4, 1, 2, 3. So if you got Maccabees 4, now is the time to get it so you can follow along. But we right now, these four scriptures I'm going to be reading from the King James, because the one here is easy for me to look up when I have to look up. And the very first one, because there's a word in here, is Job 13:6. So don't, it's not the scripture that we're going to. It's the word. And because I'm reading out of the Maccabees, because we don't really have the definitions behind the words in the Maccabees, because there's no Hebrew that we can go back for. So Abba was like, hey, you got that. Go into the scriptures. Go into the Torah. Go in the Bible. Because the same word is in there. And they may not always line up with one another, but this one do. I would give you the discernment to know which line up and which don't line up. Matter of fact, here we go. In Job 13:6, and the word we're looking at is reasoning. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleading of my lips. Hear now my reasoning and the hearken to the pleading of my lips. And that's the word right there we want to look up. We want to look up reasoning, because once we get into the Maccabees, that word is going to be a word that stands out among all the words that we read. And there's a thought that Abba gave the brother to give to us, those who read. And it's in your Hebrew Concordance, 84:33, Tukeka, from 3198, chastisement, figuratively, by words, correction, refutation, proof, argument, chastisement, correction, reasoning, rebuke, reproof. Let's go to Hebrews 3:198, and that is yakah, a primitive root, to be right, i.e., correct, reciprocal, to argue positively, to decide, justify, convict, appoint, argue, chasten. We ain't got to go through all that. In your spare time, you go through it. But the thought is the reasoning. The reasoning. So let's move on to the next place that I looked up these words was from. And then the next one is in Mark 2:6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So we know, Robert brought this out 3 weeks back, the heart, what are they talking about? Is in the mind. Something's going on in the mind. We understand the reasoning in the mind. We want to look that word up again. And that is D-R. And it's from, excuse me, Sammy, in your Greek Concordance, 1260. D-R-O, I'm going to tear that one up. D-R-O-Z-U-M-A. I'm going to tear that up, fam. Y'all look that up yourself. To reckon thoroughly, i.e., to deliberate by reflection or discussion. Cast in mind, consider, dispute, muse, reason, think. And all to see is building up to something. Because what is this to reckon thoroughly, i.e., to deliberate? So this brother was deliberating within himself, in his own mind. Because that's the scripture right there. It said, but there were a certain of the scribes sitting there deliberating in his heart, in his mind. Instead of the word reasoning, he was deliberating in his own mind. He was discussing something with himself. He was giving something thought. But that's the word. Stay with that word, family, because we're going to move on. Acts, same 28:29, in the book of Acts 28:29. And when he had said these words, the Yahudi departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So again, and you know what? They are all three different words, but basically, if you heard the definitions, they are all the same. And this is in your Greek Concordance 4803. Suzetius. From 4802, mutual questioning, i.e., discussion. Discussing, a mutual question, discussing with who and with what. Again, we're going somewhere, family. We're on the journey. What is this reasoning? And who are we doing it with? Who are we doing this reasoning with? We didn't hear this one too, family. This is 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. What is the word? 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Yah, and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience to Mashiach. Now, if you look up that word imagination, and that is logismos from your Strong's Concordance 3053, from 3049. A compilation, i.e., reasoning, imagination, thought. Thought. Remember, we talked about this spiritual thing, the spiritual sickness. But let's read this whole thought right here. And the whole thought starting 3, we're going to read 3 through 6, family. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We done read this scripture, and brothers done brought this scripture out many times. But some way, somehow, we always end up back here. We end up back here. The reasoning. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah to pulling down of strongholds. All this is going on within the mind, within the spirit, within the reasoning of a person, within the reading. I tell you, Abba is leaving mankind no excuses. No excuses to clean that house up, that mind. And are we going to be perfect? No. But can we be perfect as Brother Yaquel continue to bring out and what we know? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. That's why he waved 2 loaves of bread this past Shabbat, this Sunday, which was a Shabbat, which was a high Shabbat, with leaven in them. To let us know that, yeah, we still going to have some good in us. But the majority of our spirit going to want and long for the Most High and long for the kingdom. We're going to want to do right. Because we in this flesh, we have something against us, period. But we can overcome this flesh. Just like Yahushua did. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Mashiach, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is fulfilled. When our obedience is fulfilled. When we do what's right, when we know to do what's right. When those things that's contrary to Abba come into our psyche, come into our spirit, come into our mind, we have something that can get rid of that. He said, because our weapons of warfare are not carnal. So there's a weapon that we have. And when these thoughts, when this thing come upon us, we should be able to reason. We should be able to stop. But let's get into the Maccabees, because this is a powerful read right here. We read it already, though. Maccabees 4, starting at 1. Starting at 1, family. But remember, we went this way because we wanted to understand the reasoning. The reasoning, the disputing, the arguing, the going back and forth, the deliberating in their mind. So keep that at your mind. Keep that at the forefront of your mind as we read. As we read, keep that at the forefront of your mind. As I am going to demonstrate, a most philosophical proposition, namely that religious reasoning is absolute master of the passions, I would willingly advise you to give the uttermost heed to philosophy. Now, we know and understand that this is the translator. We do know that Abba does not have philosophy. We do not know and understand that Abba did not give us a religion or a religious reasoning. But what he just said in 2 Corinthians, that our weapons are not carnal, so he gave us something. We keep that in our forefront of our minds. Keep 2 Corinthians in the forefront of our minds when you hear that right there, because we know it ain't about philosophy. We know it ain't about that. So that we got to look at the translator. We're going to be doing that from time to time as we read. We're going to put things back in order. Because the Ruach HaKodesh going to testify, hey, that's not of Abba. That's on the translator right there. That's not of me. Abba did not give us religion. We know that. But he gave us something that says that our warfare, our weapon for pulling down imagination is not carnal. What is that that he gave us? We find out at the end. Y'all should already know anyway. Some of y'all, and if y'all don't know, for those who may not been walking in this way, we're going to find out at the end what was it. But we know Abba didn't give, or the Father did not give a religion. But he gave us something. As I am going to demonstrate, philosophical proposition, namely that I'm gonna read it. Religious reasoning is absolute master of the passions. I would willingly advise you to give the uttermost heed to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. For reason is necessary to everyone as a step to science, and more especially does it embrace the praise of prudence, the highest virtue. And Shema, family, hear these things. Because this is beautiful right here, I'm telling you. When you read it and you hear it, it goes right along with what we've been reading in the Torah portions. Goes right along with mental illness. Because it's all talking about the spirit. It's all talking about a spiritual thing that we're trying to get right within ourselves. If then reasoning appears to hold the mastery over the passions, which stands in the way of temperance and such as gluttony and love. If then reasoning appears to hold the majesty over the passions which stand in the way of temperance, such as gluttony and lust, it surely also is and manifestly has the rule over the affections which are contrary to the justice, such as malice, and of those which are hindrance to manliness, as wrath and pain and fear. Even with that manliness, that's just a human nature. That's just a human nature. There ain't only men whose ruach, whose spirit within them, who have the mental illness. It's man and woman. It's both of us. He created he, them, male and female. How then? It is perhaps so, some may say, that reasoning, if it ruled the affection, is not also master of forgetfulness and ignorance. They attempt a ridiculous argument. And remember the reasoning. Remember the scriptures that we went through. Remember the definition of reasoning. And more importantly, remember that what we have for this war is not carnal. The war between the flesh and the spirit is not carnal. Six, for reasoning does not rule over its own affections, but over such as are contrary to justice and human nature and temperance and prudence, and yet over these so as to withstand without destroying them. Now, what it's saying is not going to destroy what is already inside of you. It's not going to take it away from you, but it's going to give you the mastery over that, this thing that Abba gave us. Are we yielding to that, this thing that Abba gave us? Seven, I might prove to you from many other considerations that religious reasoning is sole master of the passions. The Ruach HaKodesh is the only thing that can do that, right? It is the only thing that can get inside a man and put man on a straight and narrow path. And keep man on that straight and narrow path. So keep in mind that when you hear that religious reasoning, that's the only thing that can do that. We can't do it by ourselves. Why? Because the scripture says it was weak through the flesh, because the flesh could not do the spiritual laws on its own. The Ruach HaKodesh is what allows man and keep man at bay within himself. If we yield to that, if we yield to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, first of all, we got to get it. We got to maintain it. Because yes, it's a free gift. But we can grieve the Ruach HaKodesh. We can make the Ruach HaKodesh feel sorrowful within us. That's why Dawid prayed, Abba, do not take your Ruach HaKodesh from me. Don't take your spirit from me, Father. People don't have no understanding of what Yah's word says. Thinking that they walking around with the Holy Spirit. Shaul said it, that there's two spirits. If another preach another spirit, I believe that's 2 Corinthians 11:14, I believe, or 11:4. Shabba Allen know that one. Scripture man. Look it up for yourself. 8. But I shall prove it with the greatest force from the fortitude of Eliezer and 7 kindred and their mother who suffered death in defense of virtue. For all these contending pangs, even to death by the contempt, demonstrated that reasoning has command over the passions. Command over the passions. For their virtue, then it is right that I should commend those men who died with their mother at this time in behalf of the ridicule, and for their honor, I may count them happy. For they winning admiration, not only from men in general, but even from the persecutors, for their human nature, their will, we can slide will in there for that, their manliness, because the mother died too. Their will and endurance became the means of the destruction of the tyranny against their nation, having conquered the tyrant by their endurance, so that by them their country was purified. But we may now at once enter upon the question, having commenced as in our wont, with laying down the doctrine, and so proceed to account of these persons giving glory to the all-wise Elohim. The question, therefore, is whether reasoning be absolute master of the passion, of the passions. And take some of these questions and make a mental note of these. Take some of these questions that this brother asked him. And he going to ask us, let's read. Let's determine what is reasoning and what is passion and how many forms of the passions and whether reasonings bear sway over all these. Reasoning is then intellect, accompanied by a life of rectitude, putting foremost the consideration of wisdom. And wisdom is a knowledge of divine and human thing and of their causes. Let me read that again. And a knowledge of divine and human things and of their causes. We understand. We know what that wisdom is. We know what that wisdom is. That who still said it this way, I must go away quickly. But when I go away, the Father is going to send back a piece of me, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is going to lead you in all truth, guide you in all truth. 17. And this contained in the education of the Torah. Let me read that again. And this is contained in the education of the Torah. The means of which we learn the things reverently and human things profitably. And the forms of wisdom are prudence and justice, manliness and temperance. Let's use righteousness there. And righteousness and temperance. The leading one of these is prudence. By whose means? Indeed, it is that reasoning bears rule over passions. Of the passions, pleasure and pain are the two most comprehensive, and they also by nature refer to the soul. And there are many attendant affections surrounding pleasure and pain. There's many avenues, what he's saying. There's many synonyms, so to speak, of pleasure and pain. There are many offshoots. Before pleasure is lust, and after pleasure, joy, and before pain is fear, and after pain is sorrow. Wrath is an affection common to pleasure, to pain, if anyone will pay attention when it comes upon them. This is what Albert is asking us. Pay attention to yourself. When these things come upon you, when anger, joy, at that moment, take a moment out and pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what your thoughts is. Pay attention to your psyche and what's going on with you and what is leading those things, this pleasure and this pain. Pay attention to you, to yourself. Matter of fact, let me read that again. Wrath is an affection common to pleasure and to pain, if anyone will pay attention when it comes upon him. And there exists in pleasure a malicious disposition, which is the most multiform of all the affections. When I read that earlier, the first thing I thought about, I'm going to read it again. And there exists in pleasure a malicious disposition. Hold up. In pleasure, a malicious disposition, which is the most multiform of all of the affections. A malicious, an intent to do harm in pleasure, disposition. When I first thought about that, I said, I got to look that word up. Malicious, and it's an intent to do harm. And it got something to do with connecting to pleasure. So the first thing Albert took me to is our forefather David. And the malicious attempt for his pleasure of this woman, he had her husband killed. That was a thought that Albert gave me. Because I was complex about that. But he said just before that, pay attention when these things come upon you. What is happening? What is going on around that pleasure and around that pain? More importantly, what we're talking about, the pleasure. Because in order for David to keep that pleasure, David to keep that pleasure going, he had to kill the husband. I believe in no excuses. Where am I? 26, family. And I like what he says at the end of 25, which is the most multiform of all affections. More than one way of all affections. In the soul, it is arrogance and love of money and vaingloriousness and contention, and faithfulness, faithlessness, and the evil eye. That's in the soul. In the body, it is greediness and grimandizing, and solitarity solitary, gluttony. As pleasure and pain are, therefore, true growth of the body and the soul. So there are many offshoots of these passions. This brother getting deep. This brother got so deep with this. And the only way he could write this is the Most High. This brother wrote this thousands of years ago about the psyche. How deep the word of Yahweh is. He wrote this thousands of years ago for us today. So when we read it, we can understand our own human nature. And we have something to help us with our human nature, which is the Holy Spirit. But pay attention. Matter of fact, in your spare time, go back. Study this. Because if you study this, you're studying yourself. And reasoning the universal husbandman, purging and pruning these severally, and binding round, and watering and transplanting in every way, improves the materials of the morals and affection. For reasoning is the leader of the virtues, but it is the sole ruler of the passion, exerted then first through the very things which stand in the way of temperance. That reasoning is absolute ruler of the passion. Now, temperance consists of a command over the lust. A command over the lust. And what y'all hear when you hear, what's the first thing popped to mind when you hear that word temperance? We know. Those who don't know, we're going to read it when we get to the end. We're going to read it when we get to the end. We're going to close out with it. And we're trying to get right. We're trying to get this mental illness right. But of the lust, some belong to the soul, others to the body. And over each of these classes, the reasonings appear to bear sway. For whence it is, otherwise, that when urged on to forbidden meat, we reject the gratification which would ensure, which ensue from them. It is not because reasoning is able to command the appetite. I believe so. Now you get hungry, you get hungry. Reasoning got nothing to do with you getting hungry or what you desire to eat. But it can curb that desire. It can help you not to eat what Abba said, not to eat those unclean meats. If we give into the Ruach HaKodesh again, are we giving into the Ruach HaKodesh? Hence, it is then that when lusting after water, animals, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and all kinds of food, which are forbidden us by the Torah, we withhold ourselves through the mastery of reasoning. For the affection of our appetites are resisted by the temperate. Amen. Understanding and bent back again, and all the impulses of the body are reined in by reasoning, by the Ruach HaKodesh. All the passions of your body are ruled over by the Ruach HaKodesh if we are given into it. If we allow it to do what it's supposed to do. But again, we started off in 2 Corinthians 10. Our warfare, what we fight against, spiritual. Let's move on to 3, family. 2. We're in Maccabees 4, chapter 2, family. And what wonder if the lust of the soul after participation with what is beautiful are frustrated? And on this ground, therefore, the temperate Joseph is praised in that by reasoning he subdued on reflection the indulgence of sense. Excuse me. Before they bang out my. Let me read that again. Starting at one. And what wonder if the lust of the soul after participation with what is beautiful are frustrated. On this ground, therefore, the temperament of Joseph is praised in that by the reasoning he subdued all reflection, the indulgence of sense. For although young and ripe for sexual intercourse, he abrogated by reasoning the stimulus of his passions. Do we understand what the brother just said? Huh? Because he was in his youth, and we know what they say, young, dumb, and I'm not going to say that, but our sexual desires is running rampant. Our hormones are running rampant within them. The brother said he controlled himself. Although he was in that age of his hormones running rampant, crazy within him. Here it is, you got 40, 50, 60-year-old men can't control those passions. But he said by the Ruach HaKodesh, he was able to subdue that indulgence. So we ain't got no excuses. Read that last clause again. He subdued on reflection the indulgence of sense. For although young and ripe for sexual intercourse, he abrogated by reasoning the stimulus of his passion. Of his passion. And it is not merely the stimulus of sensual indulgence, but that of every desire that reasoning is able to master. It ain't just that when that sexual thing come on you. It's any passion, any desire that the Ruach HaKodesh have the power over that, have the sway over that. If we give into that, if we give into it, if we use it the way it's supposed to be used. It's a weapon. Even over our anger, when we get angry at somebody, we can retract that back. We don't have to go so far. As like somebody will say, they pushed me over the edge. I couldn't control myself. You are lying. We lying. We can control ourselves. If you got the Ruach HaKodesh in you, you can control that. We can control ourselves. But again, as we talked before, it's a process. Start the process. That's why I'm stepping on my own toes, family. So don't think I'm sitting here excluded from these words. I tell you, I'm learning too. Again, and it is not merely the stimulus of sensual indulgence, but that of every desire that reasoning is able to master. For instance, the Torah says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now then, since it is Torah which
has forbidden us to desire, I shall much the more easily persuade you that reasoning is able to govern our lust, just as it does the affections which are intended to justice. Since in what way is a solitary eater and a glutton and a drunkard reclaimed useless to be clear that reasoning is lord of the passions? You can't use that I don't have the Ruach HaKodesh, I don't have reasoning to be a drunkard, to be a gluttonous. You can't use that. It's not giving you an excuse. A man, therefore, who regulates his course by Torah, who orders his steps by Torah, a man, therefore, who regulates his course by Torah, even if he be a lover of money, straightway puts forth upon his own disposition, lending to the needy without interest, and counseling the debt of the incoming Shabbat. And should a man be, give me a minute, parasimonious, he is ruled by Torah, acting through reasoning, so that he does not glean his harvest crop, nor ventures, and in reference to other points, we may perceive that it is reason that conquers his passion. In other words, the Torah says, leave, don't glean the corners of your field. Because he is led by the Torah, he is not going to glean the corners of his field. Why? Because you understand that is for those who is out, who do not have. I will make a way for them too. For the Torah conquers even affections toward parents, not surrendering virtue on their account. And it prevails over marriage love, commending it when transgressing Torah. It prevails over marriage love. That's probably for just a second. Husband and wives at each other's throats. He said the Torah prevails over that. But if we are given into the Ruach HaKodesh, that reasoning, are we given into the Ruach HaKodesh? Are we reasoning with what Abba gave us to reason with? What Abba has put within us to lead us to all truth? To take our mind and skim through his word when we in a situation. Yeah, I'm not stepping on my toes, dear family. 10. For the Torah conquers even affections toward parents. No, I haven't read that one. 12. And it lords it over the love of parents toward their children. For there punish them for vice, for they punish them for vice, and it demurs over the intimacy of friends, reproving them when wicked. When we out of order and our friends see us, if you catch a brother in the fault, we understand how we should go to that brother, because again, the Torah tells us how to do that when you catch a brother in the fault. You get down there where that brother at. You become meek and lowly. You don't go to that brother or sister high-minded. Let me read the 12 again. And it lords it over the love of parents toward their children, for they punish them for vice. And it demurs over the intimacy of friends, reproving them when wicked. And think it not a strange assertion that reasoning can, in behalf of Torah, conquer even enmity? Even your enemy, it can conquer. It allows not to cut down the cultivated herbage of an enemy, but preserves it from the destroyers and collects their falling ruins. Amen. And reason appears to be master of the more violent passion, also violent passion, as love of empire and empathy, boasting and slander. For the temperate understanding repels all these malignant passions, as it does wrath, for it masters even this. Thus, Moshe, when angered against Dathan and Abiram, did nothing to them in wrath, but regulated his anger by reasoning. Amen. For the temperate mind is able, as I said, to be superior to the passions and to transfer some and destroy others. So why else does our most wise father Yaakov blame Shimon and Levi for having irrationally slain the whole race of the Shechemites, saying, "Cursed be their anger." For if reasoning didn't possess the power of subduing anger affections, he would not have spoken it. If we do not have something within us to even override when we get angry, to do not allow us to get so angry that we do something foolish, that we do something that we're going to regret. It takes a moment to think and to deliberate within yourselves. But it would take a lifetime once you allow anger to move, to fix something. All it could take before it would take is a moment to reflect, a moment to reason within yourself. But we, so quick with that tongue, as the brother brought out last week, that tongue, that little tongue, that tongue just like it got to go. It don't have to go. In the book of Sirach, it says, whatever it is, it's not going to burst you. He was talking about holding the secret. But I'm talking about anything, any of your passions, it's not going to bust you. Yahweh said you have the mastery over that. We have the mastery over our passions if we allow the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to do what it has to do. For if reason didn't possess the power of subduing anger, affections, he would not have spoken thus. For at the time when Yah created man, he implanted within him passions and moral nature. And at the time he enthroned above all the holy leader, mind, through the medium of the senses. And he gave a Torah to this mind by living according to which it will maintain a temperate and just and good nature reign. It says manly reign. How then a man say, if reasoning by master of the passions, has it no control over forgetfulness and ignorance? You ain't going to be able to say that. How can you say that? How can you say that? Let's move on to 3, family. The argument is exceedingly ridiculous, for reasoning does not appear to bear sway over its own affections, but over those of the body, in such a way as that any one of you may not be able to root out desire, but reasoning will enable you to avoid being enslaved to it. We can't get rid of what's a part of us, but we will not be a slave to our passions, our desire. That's what the brother is saying. It's there, but it do not have to rule over us. And what we talked about earlier, that when Yahushua came to do for us, that we may live life more abundantly, and some of us had these strongholds that's over there. We don't have to have these strongholds over top of us. Abba gave us something that we can break free, be unchained, live life abundantly. Let me read that again, too. In such a way as that any one of you may not be able to root out desire, but reasoning will enable you to avoid being enslaved to it. One may not be able to root out anger from the soul, but it is possible to withstand anger. Any one of you may not be able to eradicate malice, but reasoning has force to work with you to prevent you yielding to malice. So reasoning is not an eradicator, but an antagonist of the passions. And I love how this reads. And this may be more clearly comprehended from the thirst of King David. We learned a lot from King David, don't we? So after David had been attacking the Philistines the whole day, he with the soldiers of his nations killed many of them. Then, when evening came, sweating and very worried, he came to the royal tent about the entire army of our ancestors was in camp. Amen. Now all the rest of them were at supper. But the king, being very much thirsty, although he had numerous springs, could not by the means quench his thirst. Huh? Something was going on with Brother David. But a certain irrational longing for the water in the enemy's camp grew stronger and fiercer upon him and consumed him with languish. Wherefore, his bodyguards, being troubled at this longing of the king, two valiant young soldiers, reverencing the desire of the king, put on their panoply, and taking a pitcher, got over the ramparts of the enemies, and unperceived by the guardians of the gate, they went throughout the whole camp of the enemy in quest, and having boldly discovered the fountain, they filled out it with the drought for the king. But he thought parched with thirst, reasoned that a drought reputed of equal value of blood would be terrible dangerous to his soul. Let me read that again. But though parched with thirst, reasoned that a drought reputed of equal value of blood, which be terribly dangerous to his soul. Now, that's what he reasoned within his mind. I sent these two brothers over there for some water. They could have got killed. I equal their lives to my desires, my passion, my thirst. He came to his senses. Whatever that thing that had hold of David, he started to reason that was not right. And listen to what he did. Wherefore, setting up reasoning in opposition to his desire, he poured out the drought to Yah. For the temperate mind has power to conquer the pressure of the passions and to quench the fires of excitement. Let's read that again. For the temperate mind has power to conquer the pressure of passion and to quench the fire of excitement and to wrestle down the pains of the body, however excessive, and through excellence of reasonings to abominate all the assault of the passions. Huh? It will knock down everything that's coming against you, your own desires, that Ruach HaKodesh, if we yield to it, we can overcome. 19. But occasion now invites us to give an illustration of temperate reason from history. And I just love how the brother going and pulling out of the Torah. He's going and pull out the Torah. So at time when our fathers were in possession of undisputed peace, undisturbed peace, through obedience of the Torah, and were prosperous, so that Seleucus, Nicanor, the king of Asia, both assigned them money for divine service and accepted their form of government. Let me read that last clause again. Seleucus, Nicanor, the king of Asia, both assigned them money for divine service, for brothers to come and teach him. He was paying tithes. He was giving free will offerings. He was giving gifts. So Israel, when they was doing what they were supposed to do by the Torah, the other nation came. Because isn't that what Torah said, though? Isn't that what he said in is it Devarim 8? Starting at 1, probably already down to 8. The other nations will look at your wisdom and say, "What? Who is this mighty one? Are they serving?" And will inquire of the wisdom of Yah. That's what he's saying. When we do right and accept the form of government and accept the form of Torah, what governs us, Torah, he will accept Torah. Once we do right, we will turn someone from their wicked ways. But we have to get in control our own passions, our own mental illness. We have to understand this thing called sin. Israel's job is to be a light to the world. That's our job. That's why you're an Israelite. You're not an Israelite just so you can walk in the kingdom. No, this nation is set up to be teachers of Yah's Torah to the world. That's why it's set up. Our forefathers failed. And everybody that came in the line is failing Abba. To teach his Torah to the world. Why? So like we can read stories like this, right here. Then certain persons bringing in the new things, contrary to the general unanimity in various ways, fell into calamities. Again, somebody didn't crept in. Brother Shaul talks about, they crept in. Somebody crept in again. Right after Israel is doing right, somebody always try to creep in. There's always somebody come up that back door, a thief and a robber, trying to come in that back door. Let's close off, family. We got one more scripture to go to, which y'all all should know by now.
because we want to understand this thing. We didn't hear something a little earlier. We're going to Galatians 5. I'm read it all, but I don't think we have to. We're going to read three scriptures out of it, and we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Because that's what we just went through. We went through the fruits of the Spirit. But the brother brought it out in another way. Shaul bringing it out in this way. That's what Abba gave us. Are we getting into the fruits of the Spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit, and listen to it, Spirit. Ain't spirits. Spirit, singular. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no Torah and no law. And I ain't got to explain that in the night, family. There's no law, no Torah, you know. And not no Torah, there's no law. There's no one particular law that you have to worry about. And for those who don't know and understand, just like mankind has a multitude of laws, we can't say because you stop at every stop sign, now you obeying all the rest of the laws. No. No. You obeying that one law right there. You stopped at a stop sign. That's the law. Now that law is what he's talking about, the law of sin of death. Once you master these things, there's no, you got to worry about that death. Those who belong to Mashiach have crucified the flesh with the passions and lust. Those who belong to Yahushua have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we live by the Ruach HaKodesh, let us also walk by the Ruach HaKodesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we claim that we have the Ruach HaKodesh, then let us walk and live by the Ruach HaKodesh. Shalom, family. Didn't want to hold y'all for so long, but powerful lesson Abba gave us tonight, though. Powerful lesson. I really love and enjoy Abba's lessons that he gives us through all the teachers. All the teachers. And close out with a prayer, family. Hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah, for your word tonight, Father. For your meal, Father. For your Shabbat meal, Father. The Shabbat, bringing in the Shabbat with a meal, Father. Toda for the meal, for the brunch meal that you're going to give us, Father. Tomorrow, do Brother Dayuau, Father. Toda for the main course that you're going to give us through Brother Mario, Father. Father, may you move those brothers out the way and come to them like a mighty, mighty wind, Father. May you give them your Ruach, Father. May your Ruach lead and guide both of them, Father, so we can continue to eat on your Shabbat, Father. So this metabolism that's inside us, this spirit, Father, can stay moving, Father, can stay healthy, Father, by the meals that you have prepared through your servants. Father, I ask that all who are taking part of this Shabbat, Father, that they rest, Father, that they rest within you, Father. So the burdens of the week are over now. The burdens of the week are over. Have no worries about tomorrow. Have no worries about next week. Because if you believe in Abba Yah, he will take care of you. In Yahushua's name I pray. Shabbat shalom, Abba. Shabbat shalom, family.